And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
It's just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you. Start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun. Even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Today, as promised in the last episode, we have a country radio DJ out of the, we'll say, great state of Indiana. In the wonderful and the sweetest person I've probably ever talked to in Paisley Dunn. Paisley, thank you so much for being here. I came across Paisley on TikTok. You're going to hear that story here in a few minutes. This girl has energy. She's awesome. That's all I'm going to say. Because if I say too much, you just trust me on this one, okay? Paisley, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for being a friend. I appreciate the support for the show, as I do with everybody else. American Grit and Grace, Dirt Roads, Scholar Supply Company, Rowdy Roads, Afterglow Boutique. Thank you all so much for the love and support. Honestly, I want to get right into this conversation because it was so much fun. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful, talented, spunky Paisley Dunn.
Hello!
Paisley Dunn.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking me to do this.
Oh, hell yeah. Thanks for being on. It's awesome that you're finally getting to do this after all this time.
Yes, I'm so sorry. My life is so crazy.
No, don't be sorry at all. My life's crazy too, so it's all good. It all works out.
It all does work out.
So how are things going?
Good.
Yeah?
It's been a couple crazy weeks, but we're pushing through, just living life, and yeah, how about you?
Can't complain. You know, it's starting to get cold, so.
Where are you at exactly?
So I am about an hour south of Boston.
Okay.
I'm about 25 minutes north of Providence, so.
I have a friend in Massachusetts who does country radio as well.
So. Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know a lot of people in the country, obviously, in the country radio world up here. Who's your friend?
Ben, is it Bowen?
Okay, say
his last name right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually am on his internet radio station.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that how you met him?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah, Boston's cool area.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's, it's the country music is really kind of going crazy up here. It's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird how it's shifted over the years.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday that's also in the industry, and, you know, she was kind of saying the same thing where it's like, you know, over the last decade or so, it's been nuts.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, I'm an analytic person, so yeah. I look at numbers and, like, trends and stuff. And I was looking at, like, just the shift from north to south and east to west. It's weird because the west and midwest was kind of, like, the country hub. And it never got to the west coast. Like, it never really picked up. The trends on the west coast are crazy right now. It's, like, spreading like wildfires.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how much country music has really kind of turned into pop culture all of a sudden.
Yes. Yeah. I was just having this conversation with my boss, actually, because building our website, and he didn't want to put an aggregate feed in that was just like country music gossip. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, country music fans eat, breathe, sleep country music gossip. So we have to put this in. Like, we cannot not put this in.
Right. And, you know, and you think about the history of country music, right? Just the history alone and, like, the players in it. There's always been some sort of celebrity and some sort of gossip behind it.
Yes.
You know, and it always has gravitated. You know, you hear about the big stories from these people. You know, you've had your Motley Crues and your Aussies of the world that have done all that kind of crazy stuff. But then you have, you know, a lot of the country gossip is love affair and, you know, drug driving, you know, not to paint with broad strokes, but, you know, that's what it is, right?
Exactly. And the cool thing is you can see the artist trends too. Like, the Dolly of our time is like the Carrie, or the Dolly of the past is the Carrie now. And, like,
yeah.
You have the Garth that has always been present, which I would put him and George Strait on the same table if I had to. So, I mean, it's just cool to see those trends too.
Yeah, yeah, and even you see the trends with, like, the, you know, the quote-unquote bad boys of country, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you take somebody like Hank Jr., and, you know, you could make comparison to, you know, a Morgan Wallen, where it's that,
yeah.
You know, they do or say something that, you know, may or may not piss off the masses, and they still come out of it on the other end doing better than ever.
Which is awesome to see, and, like, with Morgan Wallen, so his concerts are about ready to go down in history after, like, pre-sale for next year finishes up, because they're selling out in a matter of 20 seconds, which the only other person who knew that was Garth Brooks.
Right.
So it's pretty awesome to see that happening.
It is. And, you know, people tell me all the time to shy away from Morgan and not talk about Morgan and all this stuff, but it's hard to, you know, he's taking this whole genre by storm, and, you know, I don't want to get too political. I don't want to get too, you know, gossipy or, you know, the way of the world is today and none of that shit. But, you know, I think it's a good, to me, it's a good sign. It's a good sign of, you know, the masses saying, you know what, he may or may not have made a mistake. And I say may or may not, because depending on how you think about it, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to alienate. I don't want to put out my own feelers out there.
But, I get that. That's my job. Like, that's what's so hard about my job is you have to stay so neutral about stuff like that. And it's one of those things you got to phrase it in a way that it doesn't offend anybody, because you don't want to get canceled.
Right. But, you know, and that's the point, right? You know, we live in this culture where everybody is so upset about whatever it is, and they want to be like, no, you can't say that, so your career's over. And this has been, like, a huge turn in our country, in our culture, where it's like, yeah, the guy made a mistake, may or may not have made a mistake, right? And it's like, it doesn't matter, because he's talented. He did whatever he had to do to come on the other side of it, and we need to support him.
Exactly. No, it's been a really cool shift, and that's what I was actually just talking to my mom about this morning, is just, like, how accepting the country music world is.
Right.
And how there's kind of a shift in, like, people are getting tired of the A-listers. They're, like, really supporting, like, the C and D listeners that, like, really do produce great music and wouldn't get mainstream time if it wasn't for, like, the TikToks or the Instagrams or social media is a good and bad tool at the same time, if that makes
sense. Yeah. And you know, to your point with country radio, and you're in it, right? So
tell
us a little bit about that before I go into my diatribe or what I think. So you're in the Midwest, more or less, right?
Yes, I am. So I'm in Indiana, Marion, Indiana.
Okay.
It's kind of a smaller town. We're about $55,000 when college isn't in session. A little bit more when we do have college in session. So it's a smaller mid-market, I would say. And I've actually only been doing radio for about 3 years now, which is crazy to me that it's gone by this fast. And in my 3 years, I've been in 4 different states and have just kind of seen the world. And I love it. I eat, breathe, sleep country music. It is my life. I can't see myself doing anything other than that. So I'm just so super grateful that the cards have always kind of fell in my place.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, but you do, and please correct me if I'm wrong, no. But from the way it looks, you get to, and I, because I know a lot of other people do this, but you get to work for several stations because of the way it works now, right?
Yes. So I'm on several different stations, which is pretty awesome. I am doing an internet station, and then I work for our country station is my main job, but then I help out like on our pop station every once in a while. And then I do have a show on a rock station as well. So nice. I kind of work in a lot of industries, if that makes sense, but yeah. My heart is in the country music world. And it's so weird because I didn't just, so I've always listened to country music. My mom, I blame my mom for this. When I was 4 years old, she took me to a Billy Ray Cyrus concert because her friend couldn't go. And so 4-year-old me is sitting on my seat blaring out Billy Ray Cyrus songs, which is crazy. Yeah. But I always had a dream of being in the TV industry, and I tried the TV news industry for a year, and then my mom's like, no, this is not your fit, and I was not happy either. And so she suggested that I tried to get into country radio, and ever since then, I'm like, why didn't I think of this when I was in college?
Yeah. Yeah, that, and it's crazy how something like that could change all of it, right?
Yeah. It's crazy how, like, I'm a fun-loving person. I just love to have fun and entertain and just love life. And I didn't think that TV would suck my soul, but in another way, it just sucked my soul because talking about sad stuff all the time is just so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, you know, that's a big reason why I've stopped watching the news. I've stopped, I don't want to say I've stopped caring, but I've stopped caring, you know, where it's like, if it doesn't affect, you know, the 5 of us in this household, like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and exactly. I know it sounds cold and callous, and, you know, it's a lot of people out there that are like, well, you know, there's all these things you should care about. And like, I do, I care about those things, but it doesn't affect my day to day. So it's not keeping me up at night.
Exactly. Know? And that's what I couldn't like continue making a living off of spilling bad news. And so I was like, I need to do something fun that'll highlight my personality and be in an industry that I love. So,
yeah. So I think I think you had cut out a little bit when you were going through your TV stuff, but could you say that again, just in case it did cut off?
Yeah. What do you want? Do you want me to just start from the beginning?
No, it doesn't matter. Just go into how, you know, because I don't edit these, so it's
okay.
I don't edit it because I like the natural aspect of it.
Yeah.
So you were on TV at one point.
Yes, for about a year exactly. I was a news reporter, and it kind of just sucked my soul. It was one of those things that it was hard to talk about sad stories all the time and be a happy-go-lucky person. And after about 9 months of it, I realized this isn't for me. And so my mom and I were talking on the phone one day, and I was just really sad because I was doing a really sad story. My mom's like, I think you need to switch industries. And that's kind of when I was like, oh, I love country music. Let's see if I can be a radio DJ.
So was it easier for you to get into radio being on TV at one point?
Yes and no. So I tell everybody, radio is one of those weird industries where there's no cookie cutter way of getting into it.
Okay.
How I got into it is not how everybody else got into it. But me, I was able to do some entertaining stories while I was on TV, and I saved those. And my very first boss that actually was the person that hired me for my first radio job, I call him my radio dad. To be honest, he was like, kind of weary about a TV person sending in TV tapes for a radio job, and then he saw my story about healthy Super Bowl foods that I turned into a joke because I thought it was a dumb assignment. And so I had a bowl of popcorn on national television, and I'm stuffing my face with popcorn, reading the teleprompter. I had popcorn going everywhere. I mean, more people were laughing than paying attention to the story because I was trying to make a fool of my boss, but really I was making a fool of myself on national television. And at the end, I just threw the popcorn over my head. And he's like, if you can do that on national television, you can be funny on the radio. And so that's kind of how I got my start. So if I was just a normal reporter and didn't do weird stuff like that, it would have been really hard to get into radio. But because I was kind of an out there reporter, it was a little bit easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, that's awesome. That's so funny how that worked out for you.
Exactly. No, I know. It's one stupid story like that can change your life.
Right, right. But isn't that how it always goes?
Yeah, it is. And it's like so unexpected too, that just the stars aligned perfectly. Like, I saw this job opening, I sent it in. It was the only radio station I sent something in because I hadn't started looking really hard. And then the next thing I know, I'm on a train out to Iowa for my first radio job.
Iowa. That's where everybody wanted to go.
Yes, exactly. Actually, I loved Iowa. It was a lot of fun.
I'm guessing you were at least in a city, right?
Ish. Kind of a bigger town. I was in Burlington, Iowa, which is southeast Iowa. It's actually right on the, Mississippi River. And if you cross the bridge, you were in Illinois. So it was way southeastern Iowa. There's about 100,000 people, so it wasn't like super small. We had a Walmart and like a shopping center and stuff and a mall. But it wasn't like super big.
So you were in a smaller, I get it. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Fair enough. Yep. So I mean, because I have this assumption how radio works, right? Would you say, based on the markets you've been in, the level of, how do I put this without sounding like an ass? The level of professionalism is different?
Yes. Okay. So I've worked for a major media company, which I'm not allowed to say which one.
That's fine.
And I have worked for a lot of small markets. It's because at the major ones, you have to hold this persona of being professional all the time. And they want you to have fun, but they want you to have fun in their way, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense.
When I'm in these smaller markets, this is where I'm thriving because I have creative freedom, 100%. Right. They're not controlling my Facebooks. They're not controlling my TikToks. They're not controlling my Instagrams. I can do whatever I want, within limitations, let's be real.
Right, sure, right.
But, so there is a way different, and to be honest, I am actually loving small markets, and it's because we have the freedom to do a little bit more, less cookie-cutter radio stuff than if I was in, like, a large market. And don't get me wrong, I would love to be the next Bobby Bones. That is my goal. If I get that break, like, I'm going to take it. But at the same time, I don't want to lose the fun of radio because radio is just so fun.
Yeah.
If you have that freedom.
Yeah. Because, being where I am, I can get Boston Country Stations. I can get the Providence Country Station. I can get the Worcester Country Station, which is a smaller, bigger city in the middle of the state. You saying that, I can see that, because there's DJs that are in Providence that say things and I'm like, holy shit, did they just say that? And then there's stuff in Boston that it's like, I don't want to say it's cookie cutter, but it's prim, it's proper, it's, it's happy, it's, there's no, you can tell it's scripted to a point, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm actually currently loving my current job because everybody is just so chillaxed and laid back. And like, I'm a huge prankster.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family. I'm the only girl, and my mom raised my three cousins because her brother was a single dad. So I had my two brothers, and then my three cousins and me. So I was around guys all the time, and we were pulling pranks, and we were country kids just having a blast. And so it's kind of nice that I don't have to hold off my personality in the office when I'm not on air. I can be that jokey prankster person, and everybody just gets along with it, you know?
So the version of you we're hearing right now, this is you all the time.
Yes. This is me all the time. My coworkers will tell you I'm a lot to handle because I'm a chatterbox and just like to have fun, but yeah.
You know, there's nothing really wrong with that.
It isn't. Life's too short to not smile all the time and have fun.
That's right. So for people that don't know, and I don't even know if you know this, but I discovered, I hate saying that. I hate saying I discovered you because I didn't discover you, right? You're your own person. I came across you. How's that?
That sounds good.
I came across you on TikTok.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know what the hell you were doing. I don't even know why, because you just kept coming up. And it was you on a country station and talking about country stuff. And I'm like, this girl has, you know, a personality. She's having fun. You know, she's got all these followers. She has a name. She has a base. Like, what the hell is going on here?
So, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, not to mix words, but what the hell is going on here?
Fun. So I don't think a lot of people know exactly what goes into radio. When I first heard radio, I thought, okay, you get there an hour before your show, you come up with some funny stuff, and then you sit in a room for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and do live stuff and you talk about whatever. But I decided to show the true side of radio and how much fun it is. And, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm that goofball that is sitting in my live shift, which is a 5-hour shift. I'm tied to a board for 5 hours, which is so fun. I'm dancing and singing along to music because I love it. Like, love it. And I don't think people, I think people think that, like, we just sit there and do nothing. And don't get me wrong, there's sometimes when I'm sitting there scrolling on TikTok if I, you know, don't like a song or whatever. But I'm dancing, singing along, and I just talk about whatever. Nothing, there's some things that are off limits.
Right.
One thing for me is family and friends, I try not to bring them too much into what I do because they didn't choose to be in the limelight. I chose this career, and I don't think it's fair to put them out there and put them on a pedestal and highlight them if they don't want to be a part of it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty much everything I share is life stories and personal stuff, and I really don't have a filter, which is really hard because you're not allowed to cuss on the radio, so that makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just kind of do whatever.
Yeah, no, and that's great. That's so good that you're able to do that.
It is fun.
So as a DJ, as a radio personality, how much say do you get in what in your shift gets played?
Zero. And actually, I've had this conversation. So our consultant does our music.
Yeah.
And I follow the charts, not going to lie. I print them out every Monday, see how things are going, like watch trends. I'm looking at multiple different charts. I'm that weirdo that just eats, breathes, sleeps country music. And I wish the DJs had more to say, like more say on the music. Mm-hmm. Because I think that like a lot of these industry people have been in the industry for so long, and me being so fresh, and I know so many other people that are still fresh, we have a different perspective on the music that should be playing versus what's actually getting played.
Right.
But now, I'm not allowed to touch it.
Right. So if based on you, right, based on what you do and watching the numbers and seeing who's, you know, climbing, I guess you could say, Who would you say right now is the artist to watch for?
Oh, that's a hard one. There's so many of them. So I really think Jameson Rogers, he's doing so well right now. But he's kind of that underdog still. I think that he's going to hit everybody by surprise. Huh. And I think in the next year or so, he's going to be an A-lister.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when he did that song with Luke, what was it, last year, the year before, whenever the hell that came out? I thought for sure that was going to catapult him into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And it didn't. It was like, oh, hey, cool, great song, bro. But, you know, what we got to play fancy like.
Oh, I know. Don't even get me started
Don't get me started.
I told, so I complain to our consultant all the time about music choices just because I love it and I'm so passionate about it. And I think we could sound way better as a station if we made just a few more changes.
Yep.
And I told him, I was like, if you add Fancy Like, I'm pulling her country card. We are turning into a pop station.
Right.
Like, we can't do this. We can't do this. Just because TikTok made it famous, no, we can't do this. Uh-huh. And then the next week, we add it. And I'm like, I'm scrolling on TikTok when that song is on.
You know,
but then I find it on TikTok.
Right. But, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, feel-good stories, right? You're like, good for Walker Hayes, right, and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a great story because he was pretty much on the brink of being a nobody.
Exactly.
And then, you know, he just caught fire and knew how to play the game really well. And, you know, great for him, right?
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong, but it's just hard when you put a sound like that when country music is sounding so different.
Right. You know, and like for somebody like me being up in the Northeast, right, we get a lot of that. You know, it's a lot of the poppy country. It's the you know, it's the big names. It's the Jason Aldean's. It's the Luke Combs. It's, you know, it's the people that if you're just a passive country music fan, you know everybody that the stations up here are playing, right?
Exactly.
You know, and then I go see a guy like I did last night in Tyler Booth, and he plays to a room with maybe 150 people in it, and it's some of the best country music I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's what I absolutely love about Texas. And actually, my radio best friend is doing country radio down in Texas right now. That's what I love about Texas country, is it's a good combination of, like, popular artists and non-popular artists.
Right.
So you get that, like, nice little mix of that. Like, I absolutely have loved Parker McCollum for, like, years. And I'm so excited that he's, like, finally coming into what we call the mainstream hot country right now. Because we need to get back to that roots of country music. And actually, the crazy thing is I was reading a study like 2 weeks ago. Gen Zers right now are one generation that is really hard to kind of appeal to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the upcoming ones that are going to be listening to radio now. So we need to like focus on them. 90% of them listen to 90s country music on Spotify.
Really?
Yes.
Well, so, you know...
That blows my mind.
So I need to, full disclosure, right? And like I tell everybody, I say it all the time, and these conversations are just so organic and it just so happens, right? You and I didn't have a conversation about what we were going to talk about, you know, and I told you it's going to be whatever it is. And this is a perfect example. So I'm just making my kids lunch, right? And I say to Alexa, you know, hey, play 90s country. And it's playing 90s country. And you know what? I have an 11-year-old, and then I had the baby with me today. And they're like dancing and they're flowing and they're moving to the groove. And I'm like, and I looked at him and go, you like this? He goes, yeah, this is really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. Yes, it is.
And that's
he's right. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, you know, he's been my oldest has been subject to, you know, all of these artists I've been playing because I've been talking to them and researching and, you know, doing my due diligence. And, you know, he says to me, he goes, I think, you know, he knows Brooks and Dunn because of Luke. You know, we went and saw Luke the other night and
so fun.
He loves Luke. So he knows Brooks and Dunn. He knows, you know, some things. But Shenandoah came on.
Okay.
And I can't ever remember the name of the song, but the one, their big one, one with the Two Dozen Roses, you know.
Yeah.
I can't, I think that might be the name of the song, but I can't, I'm just drawing a blank right now.
90s country, I love it, but I always forget the titles.
Always. So he says to me, he goes, that song's on, he goes, hey, I've heard this song. He goes, I think I heard it online. He goes, this is a new song, right? And I go, no. I go, no, this is not a new song. And he goes, well, this song sounds a lot like the artist you've been talking to on your podcast. And I go, yes, it is. You're absolutely right. You know, because I think, you know, these up and comers are going back to those 90s roots when it was, you know, when country music on the, you know, the pop world or the popular culture world was lame and it sucked and it wasn't for everybody. You know, and I think it's getting back to that, not in like a lame way, but back to the roots and back to the actual, you know, music.
Exactly. And that's what I'm excited about. So my dad was a huge Hank Williams Jr. fan. Mom was a huge Garth fan. So that's what we grew up listening to.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate to say this, like we said, there's trends in the country music world. I think Shania started that pop trend.
Yeah.
And I love her to death. Don't get me wrong. I love Shania Twain. I love her old stuff. And then I think Taylor Swift just took it to way too extremes, and that's where we got. But now we have the guys like Luke Bryan and all them looking back at like where our roots were, and we're kind of making a shift in that. And I think that the younger generations are also realizing that. And like I said, radio is about targeting your target audience, and right now we're trying to get the younger generations because we're competing with the Spotify's and the Pandora's and the Apple Music's and all of that stuff. The only difference between those and what I do is personality that brings light to the song. And we're seeing that, like, now with streaming numbers and stuff like that, more people are actually streaming radio stations on their like Amazon Alexas or Google Homes and stuff like that because they miss that personality aspect
that comes along with
the music.
Wow, that's super fascinating to me because I, full disclosure, you know, I'll listen to the stations here every now and again just to, you know, if it's been a while and I don't know what's going on in the quote-unquote popular country world. So, you know, but most of the time it's Spotify, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's the, I can find anything I want.
Exactly.
You know, more or less. And, you know, some, I probably shouldn't say this, but there's some radio hosts up here in my area that I can get that I just don't want to listen to.
No, it makes sense.
For whatever reason, you know, it's, you know, whatever, right?
I get
great people, I just don't want to listen to them. You know, so, and for what I'm doing to find the artists that I've come across, I'm not finding them on the radio.
No.
You know, even big artists like Cody Johnson, like Whiskey Myers, they don't get played here.
No. And that's the hard thing is like, that's the hard battle for me is finding that mix. Because like you said, the Cody Johnsons, Whiskey Myers, they are great. But if you go down to Texas, they're on the radio all the time.
Right.
And so it's just hard because it's one of those trends too. You got to look at like the demographic of the area you're in. So it's really weird because as radio people, you wouldn't think this is important to us. We look at census data all the time for our areas. Yeah. And that's kind of how we base off what music we play, what commercials we play, what topics we talk about, and stuff like that. We look at our demographics in our area, and it's just sad to see that, like, we narrow our music choices and narrow our topic choices and narrow that just based off of what we see on stats.
Right, right. So if you had the choice, right? Could you in your area highlight independent artists on the radio or based on, you know, whichever corporation you work for, is that just a no?
So I actually work for a privately owned station, which is really nice. And so my boss actually does that through a podcast that he does through work, which is really cool. So he's able to do that. I could possibly do that, but I'd have to get with upper management and get it approved and stuff, because we do have like laws and rules that we have when it comes to like independent artists and stuff, what we can and can't do on the radio.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
And I didn't know that. I don't know a lot about this, but the FCC does have a ton of rules for radio, and we have to follow so many of them. And like, I know the big ones, but the smaller fine detailed rules I am not diverse in, which I heard that just comes with time. Like I said, I'm so green to the industry. Every single day is a new learning curve for me.
Right, right. But you know what? You're learning, and you know, you're really doing it well. You know, I mean, based on what I've seen through your social medias and all that, like, you know, you have it. You have, you know, a connection, and it's great to see.
You are so kind. Thank you so much. I feel
You're welcome.
I talk to walls all the time. Like, I think I'm a crazy person because I talk to walls and nobody ever reacts to what I do. So to hear that, that just made my day.
Good. Well, I'm glad. But, you know, it's true. You know, and like you and I have had several conversations now leading up to this one.
Yes.
And, you know, you know, it's nice to know that you're somebody that I could just shoot a text to and be like, hey, how you doing today? Like, how are you? How you're, you know, whatever. And it's not a burden to you. It's not like what the hell do you want? You know, I'm great. How are you? You know, it's, you know, and I appreciate that as somebody in my, you know, in my position. So I thank you for that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, you're welcome. I just love connecting with people. Like, it's so fascinating. And I say this all the time. Humans are fascinating because there's not one alike. No. Everybody is unique in their own way. But I feel like there would be less Karens of the world if we would just spread kindness and love and just be nice to people.
Right, right. And that's all you have to do, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you agree or disagree about, you know, really at the end of the day, the stupid shit in the world, you know, like, just be a person.
Yeah, you know, like, genuine. Like, fakeness drives me insane. And don't get me wrong, I have my moments.
We all do.
100% honest, I have my moments. But I just wish people would shoot people straight.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm a brutally honest person. I don't beat around the bush. So it's one of those things that a lot of people find me hard to deal with sometimes, because I'll tell you how it is.
Right. But I get that myself, so I'm with you.
It's just one of those things.
Right.
Like, I tell everybody, I'm a limited edition, so if you can't handle me, don't worry. You can find somebody basic.
Right. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I have so many thoughts and opinions about things, and I try to be as things as I can. And, you know, regardless of what I truly believe, you know, I always try to like make people twist things in a way where it's like, well, why don't you think about this? It's very obvious. This is what you think. And that's fine. That's great. Whatever.
Well,
but what about this? What about this side of it? What about that side of it? You know, and it's,
that's the tricky part for me in my industry. So
yeah,
So I'm not going to lie, radio is a male-dominated industry. So being a female in the industry is really, really hard. It's like country music. We're struggling to get those female artists on, which in the last year has been amazing. This is like the first time in my life that I've ever heard two female artists played back-to-back on the radio, because that was a no-no, like up until about 2 years ago. So as a female in the industry, if you have a strong personality like I do and you ask questions, the males of the industry think you're questioning their authority.
Right.
And so that has gotten me into a lot of trouble a lot of times, because I ask a lot of questions. That's just who I am. And I'm not questioning what you're doing. I'm trying to understand why you're doing it, because I'm just not comprehending it. Or maybe there's an easier way to do it that I can suggest. And so I think that's one thing too in the music industry and just in what I do. When you question somebody or you ask a question of it, they automatically go on the defense side. And I wish more people would be open to like asking and answering questions.
Yeah, right. No, and that it's weird how that works, because even the industry I'm in, it's kind of like the same thing. You know, it's weird because it's very female dominated where I am, but the males will climb the ladder and get those promotions a lot faster.
Yeah.
Right. So I can do my job. I could half-ass my job and still be ahead of, you know, the other two girls that are in my office, because, you know, that's just how it works. You know, I don't do that. You know, I put my all into everything, but it's such a shame, because, you know, they're a hell of a lot better at their jobs than I am. You know, and it's
crazy. And actually, yeah. I am on the, I'm an ambassador for National Women in Radio, because there is still a lot of gaps in the industry, like there is in the country music world. And so there's a lot of women that are standing up, because there's still a huge pay gap in my industry, which is really hard. Really? Knowing that, like, I have the same experience as a male, and I do the same job as a male, but he's automatically going to make a couple thousand dollars more than me.
Right.
And it's just right. one of those things that, I mean, it's happens in the music industry too. I think it's still an issue across America, but it's getting better.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to be a part of that movement that kind of helps with that.
Well, and that's awesome.
Everything that I do is not for myself. I'm thinking about future generations, because there's going to be a day when I can no longer work in radio, and that day is going to be one of the saddest days of my life. But I want to know that I left my mark in a way that I inspired maybe somebody else to take that leap and get into something that is just as fun as what I get to do every day.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That's so, you know, it's so good for you to be, you know, not only loving what you're doing, but, you know, really pushing the industry to be better as a whole. I think that's incredible.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So, you know, there's, I honestly could talk to you for the rest of the day, but, you know, I know you have other things to do. God, there's so much I wanna talk about.
But, I've got plenty of time. Don't worry.
Is radio where you want to stay? Is this what you want to do for the rest of Paisley Dunn's career?
Paisley Dunn has no idea.
Okay.
I am kind of a hot mess express. I absolutely love what I do. Don't get me wrong. It has gotten me through some hard times. So last year I was in South Dakota, and I was on the way back from my grandfather's funeral. I was heading back to Colorado, where I'm originally from. And my apartment complex caught on fire and I lost everything.
Jesus Christ.
So I lost a grandfather and everything within 2 weeks of each other.
Here you are still smiling and having a great time.
Yes. And the only thing that got me through that was radio. It was the only thing for about 6 months that would put a smile on my face. And I don't know. I've been through a lot of stuff in the last year, and I don't put it out there because people don't need to worry about my problems. They don't need to know about my problems. But radio has been my release. But the hard thing about radio is I am so close with my family. So I'm super close with my two brothers and my mom and my dad. And radio keeps taking me further and further away from them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to be a forever thing for me.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's fair, because, you know, at the end of the day, and I tell this to everybody, whatever is best for you and your family is what you have to do.
Yes. And actually, you know, that's why I ended up in Indiana. Indiana was kind of a soul searching thing for me, because I was blessed and had a renter's insurance. So I was able to get a fresh start. And I was like, if I'm getting a fresh start, I might as well fresh start in a new city. And yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, I'm sure it was tough to leave such a destination like South Dakota, but yeah, you know,
actually, it was really hard for me, because if you follow me on TikTok, you probably figure this out. I'm a country girl to all ends out. And so South Dakota was like the perfect place for me, because I could be that country person outside of work. Like, I literally walked out my back door and I could go pheasant hunting whatever I wanted, or I could go to the outdoor range and shoot my bow whenever I wanted. So that was really hard to leave. But yeah.
That's awesome. You know, and it's funny, because it's like doing this and, like, you know, because it seems like all of my interactions are south of the Mason-Dixon line, right?
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
So it's like I hear stories, and like, it has given me a whole new perspective of the rest of the country. It really has. You know, like, because I mean, admittedly so, like, I'm a middle of nowhere kind of kid, but in the middle of nowhere that has things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I could leave my house and in a half an hour be in a major city.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so like, what I'm not, like.
Right. So I'm not like in the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm in the middle of nowhere compared to a lot of other things. But, you know, and like, you have this. Living in New England, you grow up with this idea that, and I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this, but you have this notion that because you're from New England, because you're from Massachusetts, you're already better than everybody else. You know, it's not really taught. It's not like, hey, we're better than them because we live here. it's just a sense. It's almost like a texture, like you can feel it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I get it.
And so like growing up, you kind of have that bias where it's like, yeah, I'm from New England, like I'm better than you. I don't know if it's the sports team rivalries. I don't know what the hell it's from, but you know, you really do have that sense of entitlement. And so you see things, you hear things, and you kind of get a preconceived notion about other parts of the country or whatever that, you know, once you start talking to people, you're like, oh shit, you are the same as me, but you live in Georgia or you live in, you know, Texas or you live in Louisiana. Like you're the same person. You care about the same things I do. You like the same things I do. You know, it's just so crazy and it's so insane how, you know, how things have worked.
And the crazy thing for me is like this industry has taken me to towns that I didn't even know existed on a map. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so cool to like learn, because I'm not going to lie, I grew up in Colorado. I thought everywhere was like Colorado. And then my mom's family's from Nebraska. So I spent a lot of time on my grandfather's ranch in Nebraska. And you get this notion that everywhere is like Colorado and Nebraska, which are two states that are similar alike. And then the further east that I've moved, because it's weird, I either go north or east. I don't know what the whole plan is here, but I see that there's just so much to see. And I don't want to limit myself to one area because, like you said, you talk to somebody that maybe I've never been to Massachusetts. So I'm talking to you and I'm like, oh, this sounds like cool. You know, it just gets that adventure built up in me.
Yeah, you know, this area is really fascinating, especially if you like history and you like old history or like colonial history, because that's all, you know, it's all it is. Like I literally look out my front door and I look to the left and the oldest meeting house in the state is literally sitting right there.
That's so cool.
And it dates back to like the 1600s. Like it's like, what the hell? Like it's like, where do I live? Like this is, it's insane.
Yeah. It's, you know, but it's so cool.
Yeah. But, you know, you go to different parts of the country where, you know, I'm a big history guy. So everywhere I go, I want to know the history. And, like, you know, you go places, you know, we went to Nashville for our honeymoon. And so I wanted to know some history. And it was like, it's not, I mean, it's old, but it's not as old as here because Nashville wasn't settled the way it was, you know, like when we were. So it's just so fascinating. It's so awesome. It's so, you know, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely, and that's what I kind of like about my job too, is it causes me or makes me move a lot, which a lot of people would hate that. But I absolutely love it because one, I'm a people person. So like I've lived in, since college and internships and stuff like that, I've lived in six states. And I've made so many friends in those six states. I have a friend just about in every state now.
That's awesome.
And it's so cool because when I'm out at events and stuff, I meet more people and make more connections. And then it just, I don't know. It's just awesome.
Yeah, no, it is. It's incredible. It's incredible to be able to talk to people, you know, and actually have conversations.
Exactly. I think that's one thing that, okay, so I'm a millennial, I'll admit it, but I don't act like a millennial, and I think the one thing that really hurt my generation is technology.
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky, my parents are so old school, I'm not gonna lie, we had dial-up internet until I was a sophomore in high school.
Damn!
And we had a rotary phone, my parents still have a rotary phone in their house, so we didn't grow up with technology. And that helps and hurts me in my industry. But I really think that technology has kind of put a damper on communication. Like people don't know how to have conversations anymore, which is so weird to me. And I don't know. It's just crazy. And like in the industry that I work in, everything is communication. Like all I do is talk all day. Even though like English is hard, don't get me wrong, I have my days. But it's just so weird to me that people don't like having face-to-face conversations anymore.
Yeah, no. Well, because it's so much easier to write whatever you think and then put it down and walk away.
Yeah. And it's, you like, know. But if you write an email or a text message, you may have, like, meant it to be nice and sweet, and then somebody's going to twist it the totally other way, and you're like, please, people.
Right. Yeah. yeah, that, you know, it's, you know, because I like, I'll do that. You know, I used to be a big offender of that, where I would write something and then, you know, a lot of it was to stir the pot and to get people riled up, and it worked, right? So I kept doing it. Yeah. And then it was like, well, and then people get pissed off, and I'd be like, well, this isn't really what I think. So do you want to have a conversation about it? And they're like, yeah. No. And it's like, okay, well, then I don't have the time for you. I don't have it.
And that's like, with my job and cancel culture, I have to be careful with everything I do.
Right.
And everything I put out there, and everything I support, and everything I do. Because in a blink of an eye, I can be canceled.
Right. Right. Even if it's for something that the majority of people agree with.
Yeah. And so that's one thing, like, a lot of people ask me why I don't put a lot of, like, public stuff out there about, like, what I do on weekends or whatever. It's because I don't want to get canceled.
Right.
Like, I love what I do, and if I get canceled, I don't want it to be because of me. Right. I want it to be because people just got tired of the hot mess express of Paisley Dunn on the radio.
Right, right. You know, this has been so fun, and it really has, and I can't wait to continue our friendship, because that's what I consider this. You know, this is a friendship. This isn't like, I had this nice sweet girl on, and, you know, hope maybe I'll talk to her someday again. You know, this is conversations
in the future for sure. I'm grateful you stumbled across my TikTok.
I am too. You know, it's so nice. You know, it's such a breath of fresh air. You know, it really is. So I have two major questions I got to ask. And I don't know if you've listened to the show. I'm sure you've listened to every episode from Tibet.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. You know, kind of like I do. Fun fact, I've actually never listened to a single episode of mine, except for like one I've listened to. But that's a whole different other story. And, you know, people give me shit about that. They're like, why don't you listen to your episodes? It's like, because I was there. I know what happened.
I don't listen to myself because everybody thinks I'm this short, like, sweet girl because I have such a high, squeaky voice.
I'm 6'8".
Yeah. And, like, part of it is, like, I don't know how to control my voice still. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
It comes with time. But when people figure out that I'm 5'11 and a half, they're like, where did that voice come from?
You're and a I'm giant. Like,
no. Actually, yeah, I know. And it's like, yeah, so I get it because I don't listen to my voice because it drives me insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other part. Like, I don't listen to my episodes because I don't want to hear myself. Yeah. As much as I love to talk, I love the way I sound to myself. But, like, on recordings, it's like, ho, ha, ho.
Yeah.
No, well, no thanks.
I get you.
No, thank you.
We sit down with our boss once a week, and he pulls one of our shows, and we listen to it, and then we find ways that we could do things better, which I absolutely love because I love to be coached. But sometimes he's there and cringe, and I'm like, did I say that? That sounds horrible. I'm not controlling my voice. That was way too loud of a breath. Yeah.
So my big two questions, right? Because I know you're super young, right? Like, you just graduated high school yesterday.
No, but, not then. I'm not that young.
So being in the Midwest, you have access to all kinds of good shit, right?
Yes.
What's your favorite whiskey or bourbon?
Oh, okay. So I'm a Colorado girl.
Okay. I love the way you just got, like, so excited.
Okay, I'm a whiskey girl. So I did not, like,
Hold on. Seriously?
Yes, that's all I drink.
No shit. Why haven't we had this conversation before?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because we're going to have to talk and figure some stuff out off of the record.
Yes.
Just so you know. Okay.
Okay. So, yes, I am legal to drink, in case you were wondering. I just turned 27, so we can't talk about alcohol. Oh, well,
I wasn't making an assumption. I wasn't doing that. Okay.
Just needed to clear the air. But, so my first legal drink was actually whiskey, because I'm like my mom, and my mom's a whiskey girl. I, born and raised in Colorado, a huge whiskey out there is Tin Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite.
I've never heard of it.
They even have a bourbon. It's a Colorado-based company, so, like, a lot of people don't have it. It's been in the family for, like, I think it's, like, a generational thing. It is like my favorite. So smooth. It's got like a cherry, like hickory, like kick to the end of it.
Oh, stop it. No way.
I will show
that. That just sounded like real, like flamboyant. That was like super, like, oh, really? No, that's not what how I meant it. I was excited.
It's a good one. But also, I'm also a huge Crown Peach girl. I will sip that all day, every day.
Oh, well, we're going to have more conversations because this is fascinating to me because I'm just getting into the whiskey bourbon lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, you know, my palate isn't as sophisticated with it yet.
No, I get it.
The stuff I've tried, I really like.
Okay. What's your favorite?
So my favorite is Jack, right?
Jack is good. It's smooth.
Right. It's what I was introduced to. My big drink of choice, right? And this, people like kind of turn their head and they're like, huh, really? I love Jack Daniels with about an ounce, well, depending on how much I have in my glass, right? With about an ounce of amaretto.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
It's so good. And it goes down real good.
Yeah. No, I'm also...
So after a couple of those, you kind of, you know, it's like, oh, we're having a good time.
So I was 21, and my grandfather has a ranch in Nebraska. My grandfather and I are, like, best friends. He's one of my heroes. He taught me to fish. I love him to death. He's a 7'7 guy. Okay. I literally just turned 21. And so he's having a 7'7. I'm like, Grandpa, can I have one? He's like, you're not old enough yet. And I was like, yeah, here I am. Here's my driver's license. So we had a 7'7, and then we went to the bar. And had another 7'7. So, like, 7'7s are, like, my go-to if I'm, like, at the bar. If that makes sense.
Nice. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, if I'm mixing and I'm not just having it, you know, I say straight. Jack and Amaretto is straight for me.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm a big Jack and lemonade guy.
Oh, like, that's good, too.
Love it.
That is good.
Yeah.
Or Jack and tea is good, too, if you like tea.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I'll have to try that.
And Crown Peach and tea is even better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that sounds like it would be. But you know, I have a, you know, because we can only get like the big stuff around here, right? The big names. Yeah. But even some of the big names are hard to find. Like Buffalo Trace is kind of like blowing up, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to get because it's so popular. So I really like Buffalo Trace too. It's got a little more of a bite to it.
Yeah.
For me, but it's still good. You know, I've been sent stuff. I have a bottle of Yellowstone that I'm going to review. That's all I hear is how good it is.
It is so good. So good. So smooth.
And, you know, I was going to open it on Thanksgiving and I was like, you know what? No, I want to save this for next season because we're going to do big whiskey and bourbon reviews.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I want to open it and do it all like straight because I've never had it.
Yeah.
So cool. I want to do it right.
I don't blame you.
So, yeah. Oh, well, because you're not the first person to tell me that Yellowstone was the way to go.
It is so good. If you can get your hands on it, yes.
Awesome.
I sound like such an alcoholic. I promise I'm not an alcoholic.
No.
I just love whiskey.
Enjoying whiskey doesn't make you an alcoholic.
Okay,
trust me.
Good.
Because if it did, we'd be having this would be an AA meeting. now, being, you know, being a country girl, as you self-proclaim, what are your boots?
Oh, don't even get me started. I have a collection. My boot collection before the fire had 15 different pairs. Post-fire, I'm up to 6. I'm a huge Ariat girl.
Yeah, so I love my Ariats.
But, okay, so before the fire, I had a custom pair of Corrals made. Those were my favorite.
Oh,
way too much money on them. But they were embroidered with roses and horseshoes. And it was like a grayish leather. Oh, my God. They were my favorites. But we're looking to grow my collection because I live in them. If I'm not in athletic shorts and tennis shoes, I'm usually in boots.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am without the athletic shorts.
Yeah, actually, I do wear athletic shorts and boots and sweatpants and boots, and it drives my parents up a wall.
That's awesome.
And yes, I will go in public like that.
That's good. Be you. Yeah. You know, it's funny because My wife has a pair of boots that were formed to her, to her leg, like they were fitted to her. I don't know who the hell made them, which you would think I would doing this, but like they're gorgeous, and she's had them forever.
Yeah, that's what I was telling somebody. Like, okay, a lot of people get scared because boots are like $200-$300 for like a good pair. But I was like, right. These are investments.
Right.
They last, especially if you like waterproof them and leather, like condition the leather. You can get them to last. Like, I have a really good pair of work boots that I. So my family runs a sand and gravel mine. So I grew up on the sand and gravel mine, like shoveling and all that stuff. And I had a pair of Ariats that I had lasted for 5 years, and I wore those in the toughest conditions ever. But it's just like how you take care of them.
Right. Wow, you're a badass.
I'm not a badass.
No, you are. I mean, compared to if you were to come to New England, and you'd be like, oh yeah, I am a badass, because we don't have that here.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, and it's just kind of because I give credit to my parents. They raised me to be an individual, and they raised my brothers to be individuals and just be confident in who we are and just love life. And the cool thing is they challenged us to do everything that we wanted. Like, I got into archery at the age of 12, and I shot competitive archery. And then one of my brothers is a clay shooter, and he does like sporting clays and skeet and all that stuff. And so it's just cool that they like challenged us to try this stuff and fail at it and learn from it. And yeah,
that's awesome. I'm so happy I get to talk to you.
Me like, too. This is so fun.
It was. It's really made my day. So I thank you so much for that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, Paisley. I really do.
Finding me and asking me to do this. This is so fun.
Yeah, I'm so, you know, and I know it probably sounds weird to say, like, I'm so glad you're my friend, you know, but like I am. Like me too. I'm
even
so glad we've
harass me on Instagram for going to a Colts game.
Well, and that's coming from somebody who can't stand the Patriots. So
yeah.
I'm just bitter because you canceled our initial conversation to go to a football game. It's a little bit of a resentment. But you know what? I think we've made up for it.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
No, and, thank you, and you too. Fantastically awesome day.
You too, and I look forward to talking to you super soon.
Sounds like a plan, Stan.
All right. Then we'll talk soon. Thanks so much, Paisley.
Sounds like a plan. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Paisley Dunn. How fun was that? My God, I loved it. Loved it. Thank you so much, Paisley, for being a part of the show. I can't wait for us to chat again. I thank you for our friendship. It's absolutely incredible to me. Thank you for your whiskey love and your knowledge and everything. It was just great. It was so much fun. Thank you, everybody, again, for all the social media love, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I know Twitter, we talked about it, didn't we? TikTok, everything. Thank you all so much. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. We have one more episode we're going to release this week. I know it's a lot. I appreciate all the support and everybody listening. I know you got things to do. So thank you all so much. And I hope you have a wonderful holiday, and we'll see you. I'm going to release an episode on Christmas Eve. So hopefully you'll tune in for that. But until then, keep the boots on the keep the boots on the ground. Woo! Whiskey in the glass. Cheers, everyone. Merry Christmas.